Well, good evening. So I'm talking tonight about I am a dwelling place for God's holy presence. So it's quite a challenge, that. First of all, I thought we needed to figure out what's a dwelling. The definition is a building or place of shelter to live in, a place of residence, abode, or home. So, what sort of places can people and things live in? Well, if you were a bird, I guess it would be a bird box. If you were a mouse, it would be a cute little nest with some acorns, I think, in there. If you were a dog, it would have to be a kennel. Or if you're a person, well, there's lots of options from huts to apartments, you might recognize them, to palaces, personally, I think it doesn't look that comfortable to live in a palace, or of course, houses. Most of us live in a house or apartment, don't we? But God, well, where's he going to live? Surely he needs a dwelling that's as big or even bigger than the universe for him to live in. I don't think he's going to fit in a temple. He's just too big for that. Surely he can't have a home, but the Bible would suggest otherwise. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 17, it says, "But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit." And then if you jump on to verse 19, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." Looking a bit further on in Corinthians, in chapter 12, it says in verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And then, of course, there's the whole witness side of it. In Acts 1:8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So God dwells in us as individuals, and I think as a corporate body of his people. God doesn't actually need a place to stay. He doesn't need a shelter, but he chooses to have a place in our lives and in the core of our being. Now, when I became a Christian, was admittedly a very long time ago, there was much talk about Jesus coming to live in my heart. I have to say that I couldn't make a huge amount of sense of it. I just accepted it. Yeah, it seemed, something that was said. I accepted the idea, but there's a real understanding of how that could be. But as a couple of years went by, I started to make a bit more sense of it, when I was introduced to the person of God's Holy Spirit. His Spirit had come and he'd taken up residence in me. It was a revelation. And then one day, when my bicycle had a flat tire, almost 50 years ago, I think it was the very end of May, I'd just turned 19. I was walking home and praying, and I encountered the Spirit of the living God. As I walked through this avenue of trees, I think it was this one, the Holy Spirit came upon me and poured himself into my body and soul. And then I really knew what it was to be the dwelling place of God. Now, let me say, I recognize this is not the experience of every single Christian and not everybody here. But for me, it was very transformational. In that few minutes that it took me to walk through that avenue of trees, lots of things changed for me, really deeply and utterly. And it has gone on changing things. For as I've dedicated myself to worship Sunday by Sunday in fellowship groups and the like, I have encountered that joy of his salvation that bursts out of me as I recognize that the Spirit of God dwells in me. But I hasten to add, very definitely, that this is not because I am a good person. It's not because I'm a good Christian. It's not because I'm humble. No, certainly not that. It's not because I'm proud either. It's not because I'm a servant. It's not because of any of those things. It's just because he wants to dwell in me. He loves me even when I'm rubbish at all of the things that I'm rubbish at. Because God's love never fails. He just wants to keep on dwelling in me. You see, God has decided to take a risk. He's going to dwell in the lives of the imperfect. He will live in this house where the paint is peeling off the walls, where the stairs are missing a step, where the roof leaks. Well, that's the sort of dwelling that he's chosen to live with here. It's not a tidy place. It's a bit of a mess. It was worse before he started, I can assure you. Lots of things have improved. Doesn't look like it in the picture. The only perfect thing about this dwelling, this one here, is that he lives in it, and by living in it, he is constantly changing it, transforming it. His very presence sanctifies my life. I'm sad to say that in this dwelling, there's even a persistent bit of dry rot. So I do not rely upon myself to be his dwelling. No, I cling, as we all need to, I cling to the word of God that tells me that he dwells in me. And then, as I come to him in worship, as I come to him in service, then all sorts of amazing things happen. We're told in 1 Corinthians 6, as I read earlier, but whoever is united with the Lord is one in him with in spirit. And then a verse or two later, I recognize that I am a temple of God. His spirit and his life lives in me. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. But I do feel inadequate. This temple, with its dry rot, its leaking roof, its battered altar, it's not worthy of him. But by his presence, he sanctifies it. I'm not good enough. None of us are. But he's powerful and gracious enough to make this temple into a suitable place for his presence to dwell. And that's not just true as an individual, but even this imperfect group of people, his church, even this corporate body, he dwells in us. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part of it. That's us. We are the body of Christ, imperfect as we are, with all our different opinions, theologies, backgrounds, hopes, fears, everything. And he lives in this place because we are here. He lives in our hearts. He dwells in each one of us. And as we gather together, he lives here with us. As we sacrifice ourselves for and to one another, as we build each other up, as we rejoice in our togetherness, which is something well worth rejoicing about, as we rejoice even in our difference of opinion, then we are being inspired and indwelt by the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of our Savior God. We are his dwelling. And this building is filled by his presence because we are here. And as we worship together, something extraordinary happens. I don't know, maybe you've experienced it already. I have to say, I was extremely conscious of God's Spirit with us as the band practiced and I played on the sound desk earlier on. I have a great privilege being on the sound desk. As we gather together, as we worship God, there is the power, the great power of God. In Matthew 18, verse 19, we read, "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them." And that makes sense, particularly if we are the dwelling place of the Spirit of Jesus. As we meet, then there's surely this amplification of the power of God amongst us. And even more so as we bring our worship to him with all of our hearts and minds and souls. That's why it's so great to meet together to worship the living God. We are the dwelling place of God. But does that matter? Well, yes, I think so. Because whatever we do, he is with us, living within the context of our lives and empowering our actions. I've been a member of this church for an extraordinarily long time. And I've, I think, been blessed most by God when I have stepped out to do things that I felt I was pretty ill-equipped to do. It might have been stressful half a lifetime ago. Yeah, I realize it's almost half a lifetime ago when I first became an elder in this church. But actually, God enabled me. Because that's the thing. It wasn't me being an elder. It was me being empowered to be that elder. It was really scary to take on the running of what we then called Junior Church about 20 years ago. I absolutely knew that I was not the right man for the job. I was absolutely definite about that, but I was also pretty sure that God was going, "It's you." I was like, how could it possibly be me? This is a really, really bad idea. I might have a whole lot of children, but I'm not even the brilliant at looking after them. That was kind of the Jenny thing. But he knew that he could do it through me. I didn't have to be naturally good at it. He enabled me to step into that gap for that time, and that time only, I stress. Then much more recently, I felt that I was being called to take on the role of being church secretary. I'm like, seems a really bad idea. I'm sure this isn't in my skill set, God. But then maybe that was the point. It didn't need to be my skill set. It needs to be God at work in and through me. And I think, you may disagree, that I have been the right man for the job in these last few years, and particularly during the pandemic. Sometimes we look at ourselves and we don't recognize that we are the dwelling place of the living God. And that therefore, in a way, There's nothing that he can't call us to that we'll be enabled to do. If he calls us to it, he will, through us, do it. And today, as Dan mentioned earlier, we need to bolster our youth and children's work teams at West Kirby URC. Tomorrow, we need to bring more people into the eldership team. And I'm sure that people is calling people in this room, his people, his dwelling places. He's calling you. He's calling me to be the people that serve and make these things happen and make all the other things in church happen as well. He's calling us to do the things that we might not be comfortable with, to fulfill these exciting roles. For he's dwelling in you, and for that very purpose. You can't say, I can't do it, because he's actually not asking you to do it. He's asking you whether you will allow him to do it through you. And that's a very different and extremely exciting prospect. It means taking a risk, the risk of faith in the living God. And he is able to do much more than you can ask or think. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's what we're asking for, his power to be at work within us. Well, I feel quite excited about that idea, that all these things that are going on, that are opportunities for us to serve God, that it's going to be his power at work within us. And the starting point for that is to allow the God who dwells in you to guide you forward. Well, how am I going to do that, you might ask? Well, personally, I think the best thing is to give it a try. It's a good start. Try some stuff. In this case of Dan, have a chat with Dan, maybe come along, see what it's like on Wednesday afternoon if you want to do some the stuff with the young people that come to drop in. Talk to him about whether you could do some of the stuff on a Sunday morning with the children. There are many things that we can do within the context of church, things that maybe are not our natural fit. Take a look in at the note in the messenger. Pray about it positively. Is this for me? Or maybe you're being called to join the eldership team. Who knows? There are so many things we can be doing here. He is calling us each into some form of service, to serve this church. And it may be that he's calling you to serve in the way, exactly the way you are at the moment. You know, I know that the elders are hugely blessed by a few people who head up really important roles in our church. And that is probably what you're still supposed to be doing. But he's calling us to take the risk, to do something that no one else has thought of. Whatever. But we're to seek out that role with urgency and excitement. For when God is at work through us, that is a pretty exciting thing. It's an exciting place to be. We are all the dwelling place of God. Jesus lives in my heart. He wants to do wonderful things through me and through you. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When his power comes upon us, then we can do whatever he requests of us, whatever he demands, whatever we're called to do. Because it's not us at work, it is God dwelling in each of us who works through each of us. So right here, right now, we need to resurrender, as we sang in the last song, rededicate ourselves with joy, with hope, with grace, because he's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is working within us.